Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
And a good Saturday morning to you. This one happens to be the 22nd of November. It's time to talk cars, the more likely problems you may be having with yours, or maybe you always wanted to ask an auto mechanic a question. Well, you've got one right here for you. Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Denny, and to you also and your family.
And your whole crew, all your crews at your shops, I say that plural. I'm going to be heading to Lloyd's. I'm thinking about getting, some new tires. And maybe I should ask you about that, because I'm hearing, and I don't think it's just the weather, tires can and do get noisy, don't they?
Yeah, as they wear, as the compound starts to change, they kind of dry up a little bit. You may get some abnormal wear. Which when that contacts the road makes that humming, resonating noise. It doesn't mean that they're bad necessarily. It needs a rotation or a good inspection to kind of determine what's going on. And some of us are more sensitive to road noise than others. And for those of us that are, you want to make sure you rotate those tires on a regular basis as they start to age. If you don't drive a lot, you might notice that the noise becomes a little more prevalent as the tires do kind of dry up, and might be a bit of a heads up to get a new set.
It's kind of like running shoes or tennis shoes, that rubber, those soles kind of become almost brittle, I guess, in some cases, right?
Yeah, they will. Well, actually, not as much as they used to, because obviously with time, things have gotten better.
Yeah.
But they will start to dry up a bit, and we'll see where the tread area will start to crack. And that's one of the biggest fears. You have a crack there, which can create a puncture or some sort of damage that causes the tire to go flat.
I want to invite our listeners to join in. I know our time goes by so quickly on these Saturday mornings, so don't wait. If you have any kind, you don't have to be a motorhead to ask a question, although we do get people who do do-it-yourselfers. But you don't have to be. We'd love to hear from you. Any kind of a car question for Nick at 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, you can call and chat with Nick, or you can just send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at a text that just came in. In fact, I have another question about tires. But what temperature, texter says, should it be below for the snow tires to be put on and not wear out prematurely? That's a good question, one we kind of address every season like this.
It is, and I would say this is the time of the year you should do that. It could happen any day without warning, but usually late October. Once the weather, it's the asphalt temperature, the day temperatures, even if it's 50 degrees out, that's not the same as it being, 80, 90 degrees. So I think once we get into the 50s, down into the 40s, your time is kind of ticking a bit. So I would say, come early November, late October would be a good time frame to do that, because after that point, it's anyone's guess when that white stuff is going to fall.
I'm noticing, going back to the tires, I'm noticing I have, and I think I'd want to have a car without the tire pressure indicator on the dash. I can see the PSI. I don't know how accurate those are. Are those pretty accurate that you see on the dash for cars so equipped?
I think they're fairly accurate for sure, but most importantly, they're consistent. So if you notice that, boy, they've always said 34, 32, whatever have, but also you see one says 28, something changed. And that's, I guess, the biggest key is when it was consistently, and we've talked in the past too, as you start to drive the vehicle from that cold air temperature, as it warms up, they might increase or they will increase a couple of PSI, completely normal. But if you notice one of them that used to always say 32, 34, 36 is starting to dip a bit, that's giving you a heads up that there's a tire that's getting low. At some point when that threshold is met, the light's going to come on because it's too low. And the last thing we want to have is that we're headed, Thanksgiving, for example, and have a flat tire inside the highway.
Another question we get from time to time, and I notice too on one of my vehicles is who sits outside, that sits outside. The tires are, when it gets colder, the temperature, the air is leaking out of them. And I know that could be, for the most part, unless there's a tire issue, is it not repairable like those wheels, those rims could be cleaned?
They can be, a lot of times with the corrosion, oxidation on that surface becomes porous, which allows the air to make its way through. The remedy would be to remove the tire wheel from the vehicle, separate the tire from the wheel, and then use some sort of abrasive to clean up that corrosion, put a sealant on there, and then reinstall the tire. It's kind of what we call a bead leak, but fairly common, and we do those repairs on a pretty regular basis.
Looking at a text that just came in about, they love the show. Thank you for that. With the new cars, with all these bright lights on, they seem to have their brights on in town all the time. Is this switchable on the new units? Do you know? I've seen that in some vehicles. Granted, depending if you're going up a hill or down a hill, and the angles are different. But it seems to me that some of these newer vehicles are very bright. Have you seen that?
I think the color of the lighting has changed, and with the LED lighting, it's changed. So I think they can do a better job of focusing the light on an area. Obviously, some vehicles sit up higher, so oncoming traffic might be somewhat blinded. There is settings, and actually, my truck has this. I noticed this on the way back from up north here last weekend. When it's dark out and there's nobody in front of me or near me, that the high beams automatically pop up. So
Really?
that startled me at first, but no, it's actually kind of nice. And then in the great distance, as the car starts approaching us, they shut off. So it's some of these features on vehicles are kind of fun. I don't want it to break, obviously, because I can't imagine what it'll cost to fix
Yeah,
it.
that's
But
right. Yeah.
some of these features, and they're just features. They're not necessary, obviously. You still have your headlights, but when you're driving down up north and this time of the year when there's a lot of animals running across the highway, having those high beams, it can be a little safety feature, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat deal. I did not know that in that feature. I'm not sure about this one, this text. Last week you said that at Lloyd's you can assist in changing batteries and key fobs. Do you also change batteries in garage door openers? I don't think you come to people's homes and do that.
No, but people will come in and same thing. That fob that you keep in your on your visor, if we have the battery for it, sure. And most of them are just a double A, so they're not too complicated. Once again, you can get online, enter whatever model that door opener is, and it'll probably show you a fairly easy remedy. It's probably one set screw. But if you're in the neighborhood and you having a difficult time, of course we'll help you. That's what we do.
Now, I was assuming too much here because you've got the remote, the actual hard, clicker, as we used to call it,
Yeah,
that you can
clicker.
put in your visor, but now you can just program it and leave in the house. But I was thinking some of these garage door openers have battery backups, the actual opener itself. And we used to have one here years ago.
That is true, because when the event that the power goes out, you don't want to be stuck in your garage.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat deal.
And even those, no, we can't come to your house, but even those aren't too complicated because I've replaced those also. And if you climb up there on the ladder, make sure you're on safe grounds, and you usually flip open where the light is there, you'll see a spot for an access panel for that battery. Figure out what battery fits in there. There's a lot of outfits in town. You can go pick up one of those batteries and slide it in place and
Yeah.
make you back where you need to be.
Same with the remote stuck on the side of your door on the entry for the remote. Yes,
Yes.
that's usually, I think, is what it's like a 9 volt, I think. I'll tell you what, let's do this.
Smoke
Getting a
alarms, Danny.
sitting.
There's a whole bunch of things that we need to replace batteries in.
That's true. Yeah, smoke alarms, too. We need to take a quick break, and we're getting more texts coming in. If you'd like to be one of them, join us. Any kind of a car care question, call or text 651-461-9226. Nick Stauffer will be with us till just about 7:45 this morning. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Going to be a beautiful weekend. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Danny Long back at it with Nick Stauffer, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, we always like to ask the information for folks that maybe need the help from Lloyd's or your shop. So where is Lloyd's located?
Absolutely. And as you know, you have a question, we will help you the best that we can. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, if you need any of that information or more, you can always use our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45. Yeah, some of the nicest folks you're ever going to meet there. We also have some nice folks on the line, Nick. Let's get to them on the phone. Nancy's first up here from Brooklyn Center. Hi, Nancy. What is your question?
Hi. I have a crack in my windshield, and I know that I need to get it fixed. Will it hurt to have it done? Will it seal up in this kind of weather?
As the temperatures cool, you'll find a lot of those places will take it inside just to make sure that the primer and the sealant adheres and cures the way it should. But no, they replace windshields year-round. I just think as it gets colder, they tend to bring them inside to perform that task. You don't have to worry about it not sealing up or leaking or anything like that. So I would say if you get a crack in it before that crack spreads, have that replaced.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely safety. Yeah, good luck with that, Nancy. Yeah. They'll take good care of it, I know. They do good work. Jerry is calling in from Minnetonka this morning. Glad to hear Jerry. Jerry, what is your question for Nick?
Good morning, Mick. I got a 2004 motorhome, V10, and I was a victim of, like seven of my neighbors, we had a catalytic converter stolen. So they wanted $1,700. So I just put just a piece of pipe in there. And it runs fine, but now I do not have the probe in there, and the check engine light comes on, but it runs perfect. So am I going to hurt anything?
Well, eventually, without that oxygen sensor in there, what happens is that the vehicle's computer system can't monitor and control those fuel trims, the fuel adjustments. So it's probably in a default mode, but over time, that will start to affect it. And I understand that those converters are expensive, but technically, they are required, and they do clean that exhaust, so it's going out the tailpipe is better for the atmosphere. So I'd probably look into, maybe you're done with it for the season, but before you get up back on the road, I would probably look into investing, get that converter replaced. There are ways to secure them a little bit better. You know, there's some different ways, some different attachments and things that kind of make them a little less likely to be stolen. So you do need that oxygen sensor in there, and you should have that converter in there. Probably not the news you want to hear, but that's probably the right response.
Yeah. We don't hear much about that theft, fortunately. Is that quieted down quite a bit since you and I chatted the last year, let's say?
Well, we're not supposed to talk about it because it's one of those things when we do it.
You don't want to jinx it.
No, I do think that people are smarter. You know, a lot of people have taken measures to protect themselves from such things, and I think that they had new legislation, which makes it a little more difficult for these folks to turn them in for money. So I do believe that we're in a – hopefully that's behind us, so we don't have to see much of that anymore.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Before we get back to the text messages, let's grab another phone call. Joe is checking in from my Sandy this morning. Hi, Joe. What's your question this morning?
Well, I've got a 2000 Ford 7.3 diesel, and I just recently did a flush and fill. I do that every 5 years on the cooling system. It's got a 32-quart oil cooling capacity, so I know I need a 50-50 mix. So I flushed everything out till I was getting clear coolant, clear water out of the system. And then I even took the shop vac and sucked on a radiator hose on both ends because you got to get at least 50% antifreeze in or you're not going to have protection. But I created an air bubble. I got the 4 gallons of antifreeze in, but then I my mind's going blank. I still had an air bubble in there. Do you have any tricks to get that air bubble out? I finally drove it down in the ditch out in front of our house and got the front end up on one side high enough, and I did finally get it out. But, boy, it was terrible.
Well, I can tell you from our experience, we run into troubles too, where there's been, you know, over the years, there's been time to actually lift the front of the vehicle with the hoist, with the lift to get that, you know, to raise that that angle to get the air out of there. But oftentimes, you know, we're fortunate enough to have like a little canister that you attach to the top of the radiator or the reservoir, and we can fill it and let the vehicle run. And as it bleeds through and as the, you know, thermostat opens and the water pump circulates the air, a lot of times it takes a bit, but you got to work your way through and let that water cool and circulate and get all the air out of there. Some vehicles are equipped with bleeders that may be up near the firewall or near those heater hoses, so you can, you know, the high point, get the air out of the high point. But it can be frustrating. You got to heat it all the way up, you know, seal it up, let it cool down, let it pull all that coolant from the reservoir, and then you got to open it back up and fill it back up. And sometimes it can be a little cumbersome and frustrating. And unfortunately, there isn't always an easy button. But I sympathize with the fact that you're out in the ditch and trying to get the nose of the air out of the system. So I'm glad you got it done, but in the future, unfortunately, it's not an easy button.
Wow. Thank you, Joe. I'm looking, we got a bunch of texts. I want to help some folks out here. Here's one, 2003 Mercedes Coupe. Texter says, my seatbelt is stuck in the fully extended position. It will not retract. Where can I get it fixed?
There's not likely a repair unless there's some sort of obstruction. And, you know, if you're looking at it, you're kind of like an old shade where you got to kind of pull on it a little bit and jiggle it, and hopefully it releases. But unfortunately, if that retractor's failed, you're looking at a new seatbelt buckle there. So I would, you know, likely end up at the dealership trying to find that, or a shop can get one for you, obviously. But if that seatbelt is not retracting, that can be a problem. You don't want that either, because that means that you'll be sliding around in the event that there's an unfortunate accident. So get that replaced.
It's doable. It's fixable. Is an interesting question, a sound question, a Toyota RAV4. Texter says, when I open one of the rear windows at a higher speed, maybe 40 miles an hour or more, I get a really loud sound, almost a booming sound, unless I open a front window even a little bit. Same with my previous RAV4. Is this an SUV issue? I didn't get this in my Camry.
I think it's just where the air flows through the vehicle, across the vehicle. You know, I think that's not uncommon. Sometimes you get an abnormal noise depending on which window you open. But, you know, I would say in my wife's vehicle, like one of the kids will roll down the back window and you get that resonating humming or popping noise, I guess. If you crack the front window, it goes away because you're balancing the air. So it's just an air pressure thing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the vehicle. It's just the way the air flows across the vehicle as you're headed down the road.
Let's grab another call before we look at that forecast. Bill calling in from Monticello this morning. Bill, what is your question for Nick?
Thanks, Denny and Nick. I enjoy the show. Yeah, I've got a 2016 Jeep Cherokee, got 149,000 miles on it. A month or so ago, I started noticing a light on the dashboard, service four-wheel drive, four-wheel drive unavailable. It's an all-wheel vehicle. I had it, I took it to my local shop. They diagnosed it as a TPU or transfer case that needs to be replaced. That's not cheap. The part is on back order. It's about $2,800 repair. Here's my question. I'm continuing to drive the vehicle. Am I doing any damage to the vehicle because I haven't replaced the TPU unit? That's my question.
No, that's a fair question. And we come across it from time to time where there's these common failed items and the supply can't keep up with the demand. Make sure you get your name put in the hat there, because they will one day get a surplus of them that will arrive at the depot and the dealerships will be flooded with them. So make sure your name's on that list. I don't think you're creating any further damage. My fears always were things, depending on how it's designed, you know, when these units are attached to the transmission or differential, if they share any kind of fluid, I always worry that there's some sort of failure, that there's contamination on the other component. So it might be fair to, you know, follow up with that dealership and say, is this a standalone unit where it's okay to keep driving it? Or do I run the risk of contamination that could create more problems on another part of the vehicle?
All right, Nick. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for the comment. Nick, we'll take a break for that forecast. Come back with more. We've got a bunch of text messages I'd like to get answered to. Stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back. to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, answering those particular questions. We still have time for yours. I have a bunch of texts. See how many folks we can help out this morning. Here's a 2015 Acura MDX. Texter says, for the last few years, whenever I turn into a driveway, I hear a slight rubbing slash squeaking sound from under the car. It hasn't gotten any worse. One shop was able to replicate the sound but could not figure out what was causing it. I suspect the struts, but when I push down on all four corners, the car doesn't bounce, make any noise. Do you have any thoughts before I take it to the dealer?
No, you know, that's another common thing where folks come in with an abnormal noise that's different than it used to be. And it's just that one of those components, a rubber component, is just drying up, deteriorating to a point where it's where you flex the vehicle, as you mentioned, turning, pulling into the driveway. So you're turning the wheels and you have that angle changing. So you put a little more load on one of those components than usual. And it's making some noise because it's getting worn. So finding it's always the trick. So a lot of things that we'll do, if it's some components you can adjust, some components you can lubricate or get wet to see if that noise will change. A lot of times we're under the vehicle trying to flex things. You know, obviously we're not as heavy or strong as the vehicle, so that can be a little cumbersome. But with a little due diligence, a couple test drives, a couple different approaches, usually we can narrow it down to a couple things or to the exact thing. And make a recommendation based on an inspection of that. You know, I mean, the noise means that something is getting worn out or dried up that needs lubrication or replacement. So figure out what that is to the extent of it and then make the recommendation based on what we learn.
Now, it may not be in this case, but for the first time ever, I had that similar problem on turning. And I thought, what is this? Well, it was a couple of reasons, one of which one of your guys, Graham, I think, it was, and you and I've talked about this, like, what do they call it, like a backer plate?
Yep, the backing plate, you know, they're tin, and they're there to kind of keep any road debris from interfering with the brakes and with time and things coming off the road, maybe a little rust swelling that they might flex a little bit, make contact with the braking system, which isn't necessarily dangerous, but that resonating noise can be quite annoying. And, you know, my best advice to people is you start to hear an abnormal or a different noise than you used to. The car sounds different, feels different. Just have it inspected. You know, it doesn't mean you have to go and have whatever is failing replaced, depending on the severity of it, but at least you know. And if it's something that's going to get worse or cost more problems, which will cost more money, figure that out. Because the last thing you want to do is have to say, boy, you know, how many times did we hear, I should have came in last week, or I should have taken care of this before. And, you know, now we have to do one, two, and three versus just doing one. So keep that in mind when you have something going on. At least have it inspected, assessed, get an estimate, get a game plan, and then you make a better informed decision.
Absolutely. Listener wants to know, Nick, can a battery test tell you to replace it immediately to avoid it going dead on you?
Well, you're measuring the capacity or the capability of the battery, and it's a good test, but it doesn't tell you that necessarily is it's tomorrow, a month from now, 2 months from now. What I can tell you, though, is that the demand on the battery increases as temperatures get colder. So as we transition from fall to winter, the requirement for that battery increases. And if it doesn't have that capacity, that's where we run into trouble. We have a vehicle that doesn't start. So if somebody's recommending it based on a test, I would probably, you know, if they can demonstrate and show you the results, I would probably follow the recommendation and kind of prevent that from being a problem as we head into winter.
We had a comment about a catalytic converter earlier. This general question is an interesting one. How long has the catalytic converter been on vehicles? Has it been since the 1970s?
It's been a long time. Yeah, long. I mean, I would 70s for sure, because I had a 77 Mercury Cougar that I remember with a hood that was about 30 feet long. That's how you learn to drive, I tell you that. But, you know, it had one. So I would say probably in the 70s some point, you know, as emissions have changed, obviously the converters have evolved, you know, the management system. So the converter that was on one of those vehicles is not what's on a vehicle today. And the reason that there was issues with the theft of them is that those precious materials are very valuable inside. Certain makes and models use different amounts of those precious materials. So some of them became very popular for these thieves that would take them into these metal places and or recycling places and sell them for money. So like I said, I think that hopefully in the rear view mirror, we don't have to have those conversations going forward.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Listener says this, Nick, I recently purchased a vehicle that has, quote, run flat tires on it. What does that mean and how does that work?
So it's not uncommon for a vehicle that is not equipped with a spare tire to come with a run flat tire. It's a heavier tire. It's got thicker sidewalls in the tread area. And by design, if it loses the pressure of the air, the tire will support you to a certain distance. It's not endless, you know, enough to get you off the side of the road to some help, I would say. But it's designed to handle that extra load of the vehicle when there's no air pressure in the tire. So nice safety feature. They're heavier. They wear a little bit different. People that are sensitive to the air or to road noises might not like them. So it's a little different thing, but it's a nice feature in the event they have a flat tire and don't have a spare tire. You can at least get to a safe place to get help.
Very good. Here's a 2007 Nissan Pathfinder. When starting it in the mornings, Texter says it sometimes has a very rough idle. My check engine light also randomly comes on during this time. I have a small, inexpensive scanner that indicated a misfire on cylinder 5. I cleared the code and find that the car runs fine after it warms up. I suppose that means it's a cold start issue, as it runs better when it's warm and parts have expanded, such as gaskets. What do you think about that question?
No, I think it's a very good question, very informed listener also. My suggestion is, you know, is always at least take it in, drop it the night before, let the folks at your repair shop be the first ones to test it in the morning. They can have their scan tool that provides a little more information, determine what's going on. You know, say misfire, because that's great. Well, why is it misfiring? Is a fuel injector dripping into that cylinder overnight? So when you fire it up in the morning, it takes a while for that injector and all that fuel to burn off. Is there something with the spark plug or a coil? So there's a variety of things that could be happening, creating that problem. I understand it's only a problem right now on a cold start, but as always, that's kind of your warning. If there is a problem with the fuel injector and it does fail, it doesn't work anymore. Now you're done to find, you lost that cylinder. So my best advice is make an appointment with somebody, share that story with them, drop it the night before, let them do their diagnosis in the morning. It'll cost you a little money to determine that, but at least now you're an informed consumer. And once again, you make the best decision for you and your vehicle.
I think we have time for maybe one more, and this is kind of a lengthy question, but it's a good one, I think. It's a cold weather question. We're talking about cold weather coming on. But in cold weather, Texter basically is asking, let's see if I can narrow this down, can fluids thicken? Well, certainly I think oil can if it's sitting out there. Texter wants to know about various fluids in the car. Can they thicken? Can the drive belts be affected? And do you still hear about frozen fuel lines? So there's a couple of questions there.
No, I think on the fluid, everything thickens when it gets colder, right? And one thing that you'll notice, and you know, I've been guilty of this too. You know, a lot of times you'll hear some power steering whining or humming noise. Well, the fluid, if it hasn't been serviced in a long time, as it gets thicker with that debris and stuff, it has to work harder to circulate through the system, through the pump. So there's going to be some noise associated with that. That's also a kind of a heads up saying maybe I need to have that fluid assessed. Maybe it's due to be serviced. Frozen fuel lines, I don't think we see that. You know, the fuel all has alcohol in it, ethanol in it, which will absorb the moisture. So we don't have to worry on that sense. You know, you don't need to add that additional heat or isopropyl alcohol because it's already in the fuel. And as far as dry belts go, I guess they've evolved and changed, and we don't really see much issues at all with them. You know, we don't replace them nearly as much as we used to. I think the designs of the vehicles and the tolerances have changed enough where they last a really long time and work really well. So other than keeping on top of the maintenance of your fluids, even if you do that, you have fresh fluids, even on a new vehicle, you'll notice on a cold, cold morning that things might make a little bit of a noise. People will ask, how long do I need to let the car run? The car's happy after a moment or two. It's more for our comfort. So keep on the maintenance, let your car run for a moment on those cold days, and you should be good to go.
Nick, before we let you go, tell us how to find Lloyd's Automotive again, the various ways.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Give us a call, 651-228-1316. We're in St. Paul on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue. And finally, check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Nick, wish happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, and your whole crew there at Lloyd's. And have a great holiday. And we'll talk to you 1 week from today.
That sounds great. And to you, your family and all our listeners, too, of course, Denny. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. Good point. Thanks, Nick. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.